This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Have you ever dreamed of exploring the world full-time with your family, visiting stunning places like Peru, Patagonia, and the Galapagos Islands? Well, today's guest, Christina McAvoy from Max Explore, did just that while building a six-figure income through travel and helping other content creators do the same in the travel space. From navigating the challenges of full-time travel to planning transformative group trips and retreats for content creators, Christina has turned her passion into a thriving business. Join us as we dive into her adventurous journey and learn her secrets to success.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome, everybody, to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. Today, we're thrilled to welcome Christina McAvoy from Max Explore, who was recommended to us by Elise of Three Kids Travel back in episode 37. So Christina is a full-time traveler, content creator, and founder of the Insta Success Program, where she helps other creators grow their platforms. And get this, get paid to travel. So with her family by her side, she's explored stunning destinations across the globe, and she's gotten to plan unforgettable group trips and retreats as well. And also, what I love about this, she does all of this while also hosting her own weekly podcast, which I know we're going to get to also. So Christina, your unique journey blends adventure with a passion for helping others build their own travel brands. And we are super excited to have you on the show and dive into your story. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show today.
Wow, thank you so much. What an honor. I'm thrilled to be here.
I'm super excited to have you here. So, Christina, before we jump into the family travels and the content creation, all those different things, I always like to ask a background question, which is, where are you currently? Where are you from? And how did you get into the life of full-time travel?
Well, I first have to say that I'm actually not traveling full-time anymore. We did that with our kids for about 3 years. However, now we are based in Salt Lake City, Utah, and we've been based here for 3 years now, actually. So we finished our full-time travels mid-2021, and that was a whole adventure in itself, of course. But our kids were ready to come back and go to high school and do the teenage thing. So,
gotcha.
So that's why we came back. But we still do a ton of traveling, of course. Our travels have changed somewhat with our kids getting older. But, you know, and I've expanded my business. But, we try to travel as much as we can. And, it's awesome.
Super cool. So we did the life of full-time travel. Now we're grounded, letting the kids kind of finish out their high school career. So I absolutely understand that. Well, would love to talk about some of the family travels that you guys did go on. What was it like having a lifestyle of full-time travel? And where are some of the most incredible destinations and memorable destinations that you would love to share with the listeners?
Well, I would say that traveling full time is not as glamorous as it looks. It is such an amazing experience. But I think people think that full time travel means that you're on vacation all the time. And there's a difference between traveling long-term or nomadically, if you will, and going on vacation. I don't even know what a vacation is because there's always an element of work involved, to be honest. No, I shouldn't take that back. I just got back from Kenya last week, and that was a true vacation. It wasn't for work, and it wasn't a group trip I was hosting, and we weren't working with any companies. So that was a true vacation. So we do take them, but traveling full-time was work while we were living on the road, if that makes sense. And so for my husband and I, we didn't have the luxury of just living off of savings or we weren't trust fund babies. You know what I mean? Like, we were just your normal 9-to-5ers living a dream or wanting to make a dream happen. And so we figured out ways that we could work remotely and build a business online so that we could live this lifestyle long term. So there's definitely a distinction between like going on vacation and living on the road full time. But of course, it was incredible and life changing and the biggest adventure that we've ever taken and probably the biggest risk that we've ever taken that definitely paid off in the end. So yeah, I think, you know, anybody that's looking to travel full time, just know that, you know, it's, you have the same challenges that you would living at home, but it's just a different scenery. You know, like you still have to, you know, pay for groceries and, you know, you still have bills. You still have to worry about if you have kids, of course, how are they going to do school? So it's just like taking those same challenges, but you're taking them on the road in a different scenery and different places. And it's absolutely worth it if that's something you're, you know, dreaming about. But favorite places, you know, that's such a loaded question because I'm one of those people that find something about everywhere that I love. I really would go back to every country that I visited because ultimately it's always about the people for me. And the people that you meet are really, I think, what defines the journey and also, I think, makes your most memorable connections because it's where you have those aha moments or those perspective shifts. It's why we prefer traveling in developing countries, to be honest, because I feel like you just, it's more life-changing. It's more life-changing and you meet people that come from all different walks of life, different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different religions, different cultures. And I think that is ultimately why we travel, right? Is to expand our minds and our hearts. And for me, I find that I expand my heart and mind more in those developing countries. Nothing against Europe or Canada or, you know, the Western world, but because I love those places too, but I find that I my heart feels called to those developing countries. And that's where we decided to choose to travel full time. So we spent almost 3 years in 12 different countries. So we slow traveled through Central and South America. We spent the first year in Central America and then almost 2 years in South America. And the second half of our full time travels was during COVID. So that was a whole challenge in itself. We were actually in Chile when COVID happened, when the pandemic hit and the world shut down and we got stuck there for 5.5 months, but it was incredible and not a bad place to be stuck in for sure. But I don't really have a favorite. I just feel like every country has its uniqueness and beauty and the people are really what makes you want to go back to a place. And we've fortunately met wonderful, amazing people in every country. But if I had to say like what countries I would recommend for people that maybe haven't traveled to that region of the world, Central South America, obviously you can't go wrong with Peru. Peru is such an incredible country that offers a rich culture and history, some really beautiful archaeological sites like, you know, the Machu Picchu and other ruins in the Sacred Valley. But on top of that, it is beautiful. It is absolutely a stunning country with so many diverse landscapes. And the food is unreal. Like that was one surprise for us. We didn't know going into Peru that it was known for its cuisine. But then we got there, we learned like, oh, actually Peruvian food is like world renowned and there's some Michelin star restaurants in Peru. And so we love the food in Peru. We love the culture, love the people. loved the history and, of course, loved the landscapes. And so Peru, I always recommend to people. It's why I'm planning a group trip there next year as well, because I just can't wait to go back. I also really love the Patagonia region of Chile and Argentina. I love the mountains and I love just the incredible, like, unreal landscapes that you can see there, glaciers and these huge mountains. And it's just vast and remote and breathtaking. So that's a really good area to go that I recommend for people. The Galapagos Islands, that was one of our top probably favorite experiences, was visiting the Galapagos Islands. We got to go there during COVID year and there was like no tourists there. And it was unbelievable. The wildlife and marine life that we saw, you can just get such close encounters with the wildlife there. And they just don't, they're not afraid of people. They know that they're protected. They feel they're used to seeing tourists. So we just got to really have some amazing encounters with the wildlife there. And it's a really unique landscape in the Galapagos. And they have a lot of animals that are endemic to that region that you can't find anywhere else in the world. So that's an incredible area if you love wildlife. And it's also very safe. And I just highly recommend it. So those are some places that really stand out to me. But like I said, I could tell you something amazing in every country, you know, that we've visited, because we really did love everywhere that we went. And we always felt safe everywhere we went.
That's really cool. By chance, did you get to spend any time in Panama while you were going through Central America?
Yes, we did, but only about 3 weeks. We spent most of our time in the island. So we visited
Bocas del Toro.
Yes, Bocas del Toro. We spent like a week and a half there. And then we spent a few days in Panama City. We spent a few days kind of like in route between Bocas del Toro and Panama City. And then the end of our trip, we actually sailed in the San Blas Islands on our way to Colombia. And that was an adventure.
Nice. Very, very nice. I say that because my parents actually live in Panama.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. If they were ever to hear this, I have to rephrase. It's not Bocas del Toro. It's Bocas del Toro.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. You have to roll the R. Yes.
Yes. Yes. But very cool. And it's amazing. I've heard such great things about Peru. You talk about being stuck in Chile during the pandemic. I had my permits to actually hike the Inca Trail June of 2020.
Oh no, it's you didn't get to go.
I did not get to go. And so I have since not been yet. And so had a full trip.
Well, it's time for your redemption trip.
I know. I know. We need the redemption tour.
You need the redemption trip.
Yes.
You'll love it. It's a beautiful country.
I'm super excited to get there. I know Tara, my fiance, as well. You know, we're it's on the list. It's just we have so many things on the list, but we do need to get there. So, Christina, a question for you. You mentioned something earlier that was really insightful, right? You said that you wanted to live the dream, right? So you guys had this dream to go out and do full-time travel. I'm very curious because I think there's a lot of people that have the typical 9-to-5. And you made it very clear. I loved what you said when you said, hey, it's not a full-time vacation. You're not just living on a trust fund. You still have to work. You still have the groceries. You still have the life to live. My question for you, what were you and your husband doing prior to embarking on full-time travels? Did you guys have other full-time jobs that you had to decide, hey, we're going to transition from that to this? Or were you already in a position where you could work remotely, or you kept working with the companies that you were with prior? I'm really curious because I think the listeners would love to hear, like, what was that transition like to decide to embark on this, on what was this 3-year full-time journey of travel?
Yeah. So no, we did not have jobs that naturally transitioned to that. My husband is actually a physical therapist. And he worked for a company full time. And at the time we were living in Boise, Idaho, when we were getting ready to travel full time. So he had a full time job and I was working actually as a financial advisor assistant. So I worked at this financial advising office. And for me, it was just a side job. It wasn't ever like going to be my career path because I was already building up my travel content creation business. I was already doing that on the side about 2 years before we traveled full time. And it, you know, it took me at least a year to really start making money with it. But I wasn't making money, and we were trying to like do everything we could to save some money. And so that's why I got this job working for these financial advisors. Before that, I worked in like a different office. So these were just jobs that I was just doing for like a side gig for like money. It was never intended to be like my full-time business or career. I always knew that I would be an entrepreneur. And I just never knew what it would be, you know, but I knew that that was ultimately my path. And so anyways, I was working for these financial advisors at like 20, 25 hours a week. And then on the, and then also doing my content creation business. So I was building an audience on social media. At the same time, I was learning how to leverage my skill set as a content creator or photographer. So I've always had a knack for photography. And, you know, of course, I've learned and improved that skill set over the years, but it's always been one of those like natural talents that I've had. And so that kind of came easy to me. And then I just learned how to like leverage that skill set to work with tours and boards and hotels and even like brands, like product brands. And so we started to see some success with that in 2017. And in 2018, I really kind of like put the gas on and really put a lot of focus on that. And that was a challenging year because we had a goal of leaving by the end of 2018. That means selling the house, figuring out what we're going to do with the kids' schooling, finding a remote job for my husband, and then also having enough income on the side that if, you know, financially we weren't in a position, like, first off, to live off of that income, we had a little bit of savings. And so that year was like, I would call our do or die year, because it was like, okay, we're going to make this work. We had set a goal back in 2015 to have it all figured out and leave by the end of 2018. And so we gave ourselves 3 years to like figure this out and work really hard. And my husband ended up finding a job that he could do remotely in the telehealth world. I'm sure you know, like, telehealth is just like growing exponentially. Nurses are working online. Even doctors are working online. Therapists, of course. Well, in the PT world, it's a little different because physical therapy is obviously physical. And so people always think like, how are you doing telehealth remotely? Well, he works for a company that does pediatric therapy services for kids that have some kind of disability. It could be a physical disability. It could be a learning disability. But for whatever reason, those kids choose to do their therapy services and their schooling from home. And so my husband's company works with a bunch of school districts, and the school districts contract with them to provide their therapy services for those kids. So he works with a lot of kids that, for example, have maybe cerebral palsy or maybe are autistic, you know, just different levels or different disabilities or, you know, whatever struggles, I guess. And so he's worked with this company now since end of 2018, and he's never worked full time with them because when we were getting ready to leave to travel full time, we knew that if he got a full time job working full time hours, how is that really giving us the freedom that we want if he's working still 9 to 5 hours, but just remotely? And not to say that you can't do that, of course, but for us, we wanted a little more freedom in our schedule. And so he decided he'd only work part-time with that company. And so, and he still does. He works twice, 2 days a week, Tuesday and Thursdays. He packs all of his patients in basically from like 8 to 5. And when we traveled full-time, that's what he did. And he's got his license in several different states so he can work with kids across those different states in the U.S. And then I got to a point with my content creation business by the end of 2018. I had tripled my income from that, and it wasn't enough to feel like secure, but it was enough that I felt like I built some momentum here. I can do this. And so we left, big leap of faith. Like, okay, my husband's going to work part-time. I've got this little side business going that I want to make full-time, and we're just going to cross fingers and hope that it works out. And I truly believe that when there's a will, there's a way. And I also believe that when your back is against the wall, you know, you got a little pressure on you and you want something so bad, like you're going to make it work. Like you're going to figure it out. And that's exactly what we did. So we left in January 2019, a month after our initial goal was to leave by the 2018. But we left a month later and with one-way tickets in our hands to Guatemala, just like praying that this would work out. We didn't know that it would work out. We didn't know if we would last 6 months or a year. I mean, our plan was to go at least 2 years. Or until our kids were like, we're done, you know? And so we did. And that first year, I will say, was challenging in the financial. It was stressful for us financially. Like we were totally able to make it work. But there were some months where we were like, okay, this, you know, budget's a little tight this month. But in the meantime, I was building my coaching business. I launched my first digital product in the end of 2019. And I had some success with that. And so that kind of gave me the momentum to be like, okay, I can build other streams of revenue besides just relying on blog traffic or working with brands, which I didn't want to do. And so obviously my business has expanded since then, but I think really I would attribute like us being able to stay on the road full time and, you know, continue to do that and like be okay financially to my business, because Eric always just worked part-time. If my business completely failed, like we would have had to go home or we would have had to figure something out, because he was always just working part-time hours with his job. And I guess he could have gotten a full-time job with the company because they did offer him that. But we were like, no, we want to have the freedom and flexibility to have this adventure and live on our own terms. And so it worked out. And I think, like I said, when there's a will, there's a way. And we just made it work. And, you know, it was stressful sometimes, but it paid off. We had incredible experiences with our kids. I think the time that we shared together, just even the small mundane moments, were like the most precious times, because we had zero distractions. We didn't have distractions of school and extracurricular activities and extended family and friends. Like it was just our little family unit having this experience, making it work, and having all these unique adventures and experiences. It was such a bonding experience for our family that it was worth all the struggles and challenges of building a business at the same time.
No, I can appreciate that. I mean, as someone who's built a business, right? When it's in its infancy, it's a struggle. It's a fight, right? To grow. And this obviously is not a business or a financial podcast, but I love the transparency there. And I bring up the transparency piece, right? Because it is so easy, especially on social media, to be like, hey, we dropped it all and we're thriving in our travels, a full-time life, right? And the fact that you're like, hey, I'm being real with you. We had to figure this thing out. There were months where we were concerned, right? That's real. And I think that transparency is super valuable. But I also go and putting on my financial advisor and planning hat, right? I've had a good amount of conversations with clients that we've helped them strategize this exact same thing that you're doing. One of which, actually, she was on a previous episode, Marissa, who's basically she's traveling the whole country in an Airstream right now. We executed a plan about how you can kind of move into a life of travel. Right. And I've had that conversation with other clients as well. So I say that to say, I love the fact that you guys approached it. You had a plan. Not everything went 100% according to plan, but you kind of built the airplane while you were flying it at the same time.
That's how it has to happen for most people. Like, I think people think that they put a big plan in place or big goal and they have it all figured out. But most of the time, it doesn't work out like that. But in the end, it works out. And the lessons that you learn in the middle of it are so important. And so I really wouldn't change a thing about it. I think really my only regret is that we didn't start sooner, you know? We didn't take that leap sooner. But I also feel like, no, we weren't really ready for that, you know, because we had to go through the motions of figuring out all the logistics, of course. But I think mentally and emotionally, like it took us those 3 years to really get our minds wrapped around this huge lifestyle change that we were going to make. For some people, they can they can set that goal and make a huge lifestyle change in like a short amount of time. For us, especially when we have kids involved and we were completely uprooting our lives in Boise, Idaho, where we lived for 11 years, like we needed those 3 years to really like mentally prepare ourselves for this huge life change that we were going to do on top of building a business and figuring out all these logistics. So I really don't regret it, but like my kids when we left were 10 and 13 years old, and that was a really good time to leave. And so when we came back, they were 13 and 16. And that age when we came back was like, especially for my older son, he was like, I want to experience high school. You know, so he really only did 2 years in high school because he did his first 2 years online. But I wish we would have started sooner just so we would have had more time, you know, with our kids, because we just had such an amazing experience. I wish we would have had more time before they got to that age of like high school. But with that said, like I know plenty of families that do it with their high schoolers and their high school kids love it. And our kids definitely loved it for the time being, but they were ready to come back. And that's essentially why we came home, was because our kids were ready and we didn't want them to resent us for making the decision to not come home. You know, we didn't want to hinder our relationship with them that way. And so it was important for us to make that family choice together, even though my husband and I easily could have kept traveling.
Putting them ahead of yourself. I can appreciate that. Well, Christina, I want to move into the conversation around your group trips, right? Because I believe next year you have a few lined up. You mentioned Peru. I believe I saw there's also Sedona, I think maybe French Polynesia. So can you talk about the type of group trips that you create, that you go on, and who are going on these trips with you? Is it all female focused content creators? Who are the right people for these group trips that you curate and have amazing experiences on or with?
Yeah. So my Sedona retreat is next week, which I'm really excited about. This will be my last one of the year. I'm not doing more than six a year. This year I did six in total, and I think that's my max. I think like anything more than that is a little too much with trying to balance everything else I do and also a family, you know. But this year I did six. Next year I'm going to do six. So next year I have a couples group trip in French Polynesia in February. That one is full. It sold out in like 8 hours or something like that. It was crazy. And then I've got a women's trip in Peru in April. A women's trip in Brazil, also in April. And then in July, I have two women's trips in Iceland and Norway. And then I haven't launched my last trip for next year, but it'll be in November, and that'll be in Patagonia, and that'll be a couples trip. So I'm doing about 1 to 2 couples trips a year, and mostly women's trips, mostly because it's easier for women to get away on their own at my stage of life. Like most of the women that come on my trips are in their 40s. Their kids are maybe a little older and they're ready for a break. They're ready for, no, I shouldn't say it like that because that sounds negative. But what I mean is that I think when you get to your midlife, like where I'm at, you know, in my 40s, I've been a mom for a while and I've had multiple jobs in between, also taking care of a family. And you're usually the last to like take care of yourself. You know, and as a mom, you're just taking care of everyone else and trying to keep the family afloat. And you just don't get a lot of freedom and opportunity to just like be yourself and be an individual and not mom hat, right? Or business hat or work mom mode, right? And so I create these trips to allow women to just kind of be able to just travel on their own without their kids, without their spouse or partner. And to, like I said, kind of have that break from that, but also more importantly, like find that sense of adventure in themselves again. I've seen a lot of like really amazing transformations happen on these trips where these women just kind of are like, wow, I forgot like that I can be carefree and like adventurous again. You know, I'm always like worried about my kids or taking care of everyone. I don't have to take care of anyone. I can just show up and be myself and not have to worry about who needs food where, and you know, they don't have to take care of anybody except for themselves. And And it's just really cool to see these women just be able to open up and be carefree again and just make these connections with other like-minded women. Because like I said, most of the women that come on my trips are kind of in that midlife. I do get women in their 30s, and then I also get women in their 50s. So, but I would say like the majority are like in their 40s, like where I'm at. And so it's been really fun to just make those connections with other like-minded moms. Like on my last group trip in Switzerland in September, there was a few moms that had just dropped off a kid to college. And so a lot of us can resonate with that, like empty nester, like you're approaching kind of that empty nest phase where you're not like old yet, but you're also like, you know, you're in the middle of your life still, but you are now to the point where your kids don't need you as much and they're moving on to adulthood. And it's this like transition that nobody talks about really. And it's super, super hard, especially for moms, because we're the primary nurturers of the family. And not that dads don't have an important role. Of course they do. Like we have equal roles, but just different roles. And as a nurturer, being in that role, all of a sudden your kids don't need you on a daily basis. And you kind of go through this phase of like, wow, what's next? You know? And, you know, because you're still young, you know, you're not like 60, you're not retirement age. And so I think these trips allow these women to just kind of like find what lights them up again and give that self-care to themselves in a new way. And so that's why I really love it. But my trips are super adventurous. Like they are not sit at a hotel, have some cocktails, go to the beach kind of trips. Like we hike, we raft, we, you know, bike, we have challenging activities. Sometimes I always pick one challenging activity that's going to challenge people like out of their comfort zone. And usually it's something a little bit like, for example, we did a Via Ferrata in Switzerland where you're clipped on to some cables, but you're like basically hanging off of a cliff, you know, but you're like safe.
Yeah. You're straddling a mountain.
We do safe, but also like danger. No, I wouldn't say dangerous, you know, but like.
You push people's limits.
Well, I push people's limits. And here's why. Because there's so much growth that happens from those challenges. And most of the women will go into something like that where it's new. And they're like, I don't know if I can do it, but I want to do it. I want to challenge myself. And then they do it. And they're like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. And it's such a confidence booster. And it's just really, really cool to see these women challenge themselves, overcome their fears, and build that confidence. And so I always choose something that's a little bit challenging on every trip. It's going to push them out of their comfort zone a little bit. So yeah, we do a lot of really fun, adventurous activities. I'm all about the beautiful landscapes. So all the trips that I plan are going to be like mind-blowing landscapes. You know, like I really want people to be like, wow, I can't believe this place is real. But I also really combine cultural, unique cultural experiences. For example, I did a couple of women's trips to Morocco earlier this year. And I worked with this amazing local guide who I've become really good friends with. And he helped me curate this really special experience where we had lunch out in the middle of nowhere in the desert with a local Berber family, which the Berbers are the indigenous people of Morocco. They're nomadic. They live in these like makeshift tents. You know, it's incredible how they live and how they provide for themselves. It's so fascinating. And so we had this really amazing, amazing lunch with this Berber family in this under this tent in the middle of the Sahara Desert. So I really like to curate like unique cultural experiences of ways that we can really learn and not just like hear about their culture, but actually experience their culture, you know? So I always try to do that on my trips as well. But yeah, they're not a relaxing kind of trip. Let's just put it that way. It is a go, go, go. You know, we stay in amazing places as well. I really want the women to feel spoiled and just like, spoiled's a good word. You know, just I want them to feel like they're getting taken care of and they're able to just relax and not have to stress about anything at home, but just have an incredible, like life-changing experience.
And what's usually the group size for these trips? How big do they usually make them?
12 to 16. I don't do more than 16. And that includes myself and a helper because I always bring like a helper with me. So I keep them pretty small. Yeah, 16 is kind of my magic sweet spot number. But I've done, my smallest trip was like, I think 12. Yeah, so I think 12 to 16 is good. My couples trips, I like about 7 couples. So about 14 is kind of a good number for the couples trip.
Hey, it's DeAndre here, and we're going to interrupt this episode real quick to tell you about two great opportunities for all of you. First, join our private Facebook community to connect with fellow points and miles enthusiasts, get exclusive tips and updates, as well as get your questions answered directly by me and others in the community. And if you're looking to level up your points and miles skills, we've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you 50% off their online course that will teach you all the basics you need to know to learn how to travel in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy. Don't forget to use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout. You'll find all the details and links to both of these in the show notes. Now, let's get back to our episode. Well, Christina, you've done incredible things growing your own business, growing your own brand. You curate these trips, but I know that you also talk a lot about content creators and how other people can build their brands for travel, how to connect with tourism boards and brands. I would love to hear a little bit about how, and I know this is, you know, I think you probably have a course, you probably have a lot of things, which we'll let you plug all the things, but at kind of a high level, for someone listening that's in the travel space, or maybe they're in the 9-to-5 job, they want to do what you and your husband did. They want to live the dream of getting out there and experiencing what full-time travel is like. And maybe they're thinking, well, maybe I could also do it and have some income by traveling. Do you need the million followers? At a high level, how do you do it?
Well, yeah. So I do teach travel content creators how to basically build and monetize a personal brand so that they can get paid to travel. I mean, that's essentially what I do in a nutshell. I've been coaching for about 4 years now, and I have over, 1,200 students that have gone through my program, and a lot of successful students. So it's really rewarding for me to see people kind of build that dream lifestyle like that we have done, and create a lifestyle that involves travel. It doesn't have to be full-time travel. And I always tell people that, like, in order to be a successful travel content creator, you do not have to travel full time. In fact, most of my students do not travel full time. They are part-time travelers, kind of doing what most people do, take a few vacations a year, a lot of like maybe local or regional, like weekend trips, you know, I mean, that's kind of what most people do. And you can build a successful business around that. In fact, you can build a successful business around travel content creation, even like in your own regional area. I have lots of students that do very well with that focus on a specific region and make money through working with tourism boards, hotels, different, you know, various companies in that region. So yeah, there's lots of ways to do it. No, you do not have to have a big audience, because really the most important asset that you can leverage is your content, because every single company, hotel, tourism board, product brand, they are looking for quality content that they can use to market whatever they sell, whether that's a destination or whether that's a product or service. And so they are looking for content creators for that, because it is actually less expensive for them to do that than it is to hire a whole production team to create that content. And it also converts better when a company hires a content creator, because content creators are more relatable to the general public. We're not like some professionally trained actors or models. We are just regular people that are passionate about what we do, and we know how to create content around that. And so you don't need a huge audience. You just need to know how to create content. And that could be photography. That could be through videos. It could be short form videos or long form videos. It could be through writing. It could be through blogging, freelance writing. There's so many different ways to do it. You just kind of have to find like, what are you good at, or what do you want to get good at, and start building that skill set if you don't have that skill set. I just started with photography. That was a skill set that I had when I started. I wouldn't say, obviously my photography has come a long ways even from when I started, but I had a good eye for it when I started, and I was able to, you know, learn more about photography And honestly, just getting out there and shooting a lot was how I improved, and taking a lot of photos, learning kind of what my unique style was. And that was how I was able to like start landing my first like brand partnerships. Our very first like paid collaboration was actually with Royal Caribbean, which was a complete dream because I was like, I didn't even think it was a real like thing when they approached me. I thought it was fake. And this, because we only had 7,000 followers, or like, I don't know, we didn't have that many followers. And I thought, why would they reach out to us? Like, there are tons of people that have way bigger followings that they could reach out to and work with, but they liked our content. And because they liked our content, they liked our style. They liked that we were this adventurous family that was going out and doing like epic stuff in cool places. And so they hired us, you know? And so that was kind of like my biggest like aha moment when I realized, oh, wait, I don't have to work towards having a million followers or even 100,000 followers. Like, I can actually just do a really good job creating content that brands want, you know? And so if you have a marketable skill, that's going to go a lot farther than, you know, having a ton of followers, especially these days. It wasn't so much that way back in like 2015, 2016, but these days it's really easier than ever to build a business from it. And a lot of people will say, but it's so constant, it's so saturated. There's so many travel creators out there. Like, you know, is there really room for me? And I want to say absolutely yes, because think about it. There's so much competition for every type of industry out there. And the ones that make it, the ones that are successful, are the ones that carve out how they can stand out against the competition. And that really comes from building a personal, like a strong personal brand. And a strong personal brand comes from like sharing your story and your unique like gifts, talents, skills, whatever you want to call them, with whoever your audience, and just like being yourself. Like, I know that's like so cliche, but really just owning who you are and like what your strengths are, and being able to share your story, share your experiences, share your perspective. There will be people that will resonate with that. And that is how you stand out, is because you become known for that thing in a different way, right? Like, every full-time family has their own different experiences than ours. And so there's going to be people that resonate with some other families more than, you know, others. And so you just have to kind of carve out like what makes you unique, you know?
I was going to say, yes, I absolutely believe that, because again, you know, as a financial advisor in a world, I mean, you literally yourself worked worked for a financial advisor, right? As a financial advisor, there's so many of us out there. It's all about the differences, right? You know, and what connects you with other people. And for me, I mean, shout out to what you did, because for me, if it wasn't for my team, I wouldn't be able to travel the way that my fiance and I do, because I know how well my team holds it down for our clients when we're gone. But at the same time, as you know, we've built a firm, we've had some success, we've had some national recognition, which is amazing, but there's still plenty of clients, there's still plenty of a room out there for other advisors who want to get started as well. So I completely 100% recognize and connect with what you're saying in the travel and the content creation space. And again, as we talked about a little bit offline before we started recording, right? Like most financial advisors decide to become business coaches, which doesn't really call to me. So you know what? I said, you know what? I want to be in the travel and content creation space because I love that. I'm passionate about travel and passionate about seeing the world. So I appreciate that feedback there, Christina.
Well, seeing for you, like if you pursue that, even if it's on the side, like there's going to be people that connect with that because they maybe come from the same background or they have similar, you know, interests, like they're into finances as well. Like that's the thing, is like you're always going to find your people, you know, and so you just have to just do you, and people are going to connect to that because there's something in your story or something that you do that they connect with. And so it's really just about owning that and really just trying to draw a piece of that in the pie, because, you know, it can get really overwhelming trying to stand out in a sea of talented content creators. But it really comes down to your voice and just being who you are. And that's just going to connect with the right people. And that's what I teach, and obviously how to like leverage those skill sets and grow an audience too, because if you do grow an audience, of course, it's only going to help you. You know, it's going to help you leverage more opportunities. It's going to help you grow your income in different ways. So I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a goal of growing your audience, because I do think it is an important thing, but it's not everything in order to be successful. I mean, I have students that have less than 2,000 followers that are full-time travel content creators because they know how to leverage and market their skills. So you can absolutely do it with a small audience. But of course, if you can grow an audience, it's going to help you. It's only going to help you leverage more opportunities, more skill, you know, just more assets, I guess.
Very cool. Well, Christina, as we get to wrap up here and start to wrap up, I know you just got back from Kenya. I saw some of the videos and pictures. That trip and destination looked absolutely amazing. I'm curious, any upcoming future trips or travels that you have that will be a vacation and not the group travels or work for yourself or your family, and or any bucket list destinations you're still trying to get to?
My husband and I are actually headed to New Zealand the end of November, and we're so excited because New Zealand has been number one on our bucket list for probably 20 plus years, and we just haven't made it there. But we're finally going with some of our best friends that we knew when we lived in Boise, and so we're going to spend 2 weeks there just doing all the things. So that's a personal trip I've got coming up. That'll be our last trip of the year. And I'm the most excited for that trip just because it's New Zealand and we've wanted to go there forever.
Very cool. Well, I'm excited to see the content that you end up creating. I know it's going to be a fun trip, but I also know when you go, you got to take videos, you got to take pictures. And so
Oh, for sure. I love doing that. I mean, for me, especially photography, like even if I didn't do this because people always ask me like, well, how do you balance that with like just staying in the moment? And I'm like, I do because I love it. Like, I love to see the world through my lens. And it doesn't mean that I have my camera out every second, of course, but I genuinely love to take photos and I love to see a scene and then be inspired by that scene and, you know, capture it the way that I see it in my own artistic way. So yeah, there's never a shortage of content. When we got back from Kenya, I looked at my SD card and it was like over 6,000 photos.
Oh, wow. Got it.
Mostly of animals.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Christina, where are the places, all the places that the listeners can follow you? And we'd also love to hear more about your podcast as well. So go ahead and just plug all the things.
Well, the best place to find me is probably on social media. On Instagram, that's where I'm the most active. I'm kind of a minimalist when it comes to social media. I hate being on all the platforms. It's just not my style. But Instagram is my jam. And that's where my community is. That's where I hang out. That's where I share content. That's where you can learn about my group trips. You can also go to my website, max-explore.com. But you can also find all the info on my social media. You can also DM me. I'm super... I love connecting with new people. So Instagram's great for that as well. And then, so I also have a few different digital products. My main like signature product is my Insta Success program. And that is designed to help travel content creators monetize their brand and business. It comes with like, it's a full step-by-step program, but it also includes a community and support through an amazing Facebook community, which is my favorite because it's just such a very like inclusive community where you can ask anything. We share rates, we share everything in that community, and it's so helpful. We also do group coaching calls every month where I answer questions and give you feedback. So that's kind of like my main bread and butter. And then I also offer just a few digital guides. Like I have one in particular that's just on working with tours and boards, or I have one that is just about creating viral reels or working as a UGC creator, building a user-generated business. So I have a few other smaller digital products, but they're just like a guide. They're not like a step-by-step program that has like support, you know, included with that. So you can learn about all those on my Instagram as well as my website and my group trips. I think I mentioned that, you know, both places as well. So I would say my website and my social media or Instagram are probably the best places to find me. And then my podcast is called Your Limitless Life, and it's on all the major podcast platforms. But I started that a year ago, and it's actually been really fun. It's a really great way for me to combine my three passions, which I think are intertwined so well, which is travel, entrepreneurship, and self-development. So it's kind of the whole podcast is kind of the intersection of those three things of self-development, business, entrepreneurship, and travel, because I really believe that the best way you can improve yourself is through entrepreneurship and through travel. So I bring in guests that kind of embody those three things to me, that maybe have their own business. Maybe it's in the travel sector, maybe it's not, but are very passionate about travel somehow. Maybe they live overseas. So I bring different guests on different topics that are all kind of related in that realm. And then, of course, I have my own like solo episodes as well. I really dive into mindset a lot. I'm really, really big on mindset and, you know, law of attraction and all that woo-woo stuff. Like I'm really big into that. So I talk about that a lot in my podcast. So it's just a really empowering, insightful podcast if you are passionate about those things.
Very cool. Well, Christina, absolutely appreciate your time today. Two final questions for you that we always like to ask. The first one is, who else should we have on the show that is in the travel space, whether they're, you know, they're the world that we spend a lot of time in, which is traveling with points and miles, or they're a content creator or micro influencer or major influencer, whatever it may be. Who would you recommend that you think should also be on this show?
Well, the first person that came to mind, because I know you're a points and miles guy, is my friend Alex Payne. She is with the Travel Mom Squad, and she's actually also one of my students. Do you know of her?
I do know of her. I follow their account. I've heard their podcast, but never actually directly connected with her.
Okay. Yeah. So they have a podcast. There's three of them, her and her mom, and then they have a business partner with them. And she's actually one of my students. She's built an incredibly successful company. I'm so proud of what they have built over the last few years. They have over 500,000 followers. They have a very successful podcast. They're just killing it in business. And she's also a points and miles enthusiast. And that's what they do. That's what they teach. So I think she would be awesome for your podcast, especially because that's your realm as well. And they just, yeah, they're a wealth of information.
Perfect. I absolutely am familiar with them and would love to get connected with them, and we'll hopefully get them, get at least her on a future episode. I think coincidentally, I'm about to meet her at the Travel More conference.
Oh, are you going to the conference? Yeah. Awesome.
Yes. That's coming up here in a few weeks, which will probably by the time this airs will have already happened. But yeah, so we're excited, and hopefully we'll get a chance, if not to meet digitally, to meet in person.
Definitely meet her, tell her that I told you about her and that you should be on her podcast.
Got it. Perfect. Awesome, Christina. Any final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
I think that's it. Thank you for having me though. This has been awesome. And if anybody, you know, has questions about full-time travel with kids or Central South America, I know a lot about. I mean, I know a lot about other destinations too, but we spent a long time in Central South America, so I feel like that area is like I know a lot about it. If people have questions about that, they can reach out. If you have questions about becoming a travel creator, of course, reach out. So yeah, just reach out if you've got any questions.
Sounds great. Well, Christina, thank you so much for being on the show today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And for our listeners, be sure to check out Christina's website, her Insta Success program, and of course, her podcast for that correlation between personal development, travel, and entrepreneurship, which I think are three things that also personally define me. So I love that that's what your podcast is all about as well. And also, as always, the listeners, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already. Give us a rating, tell a friend, and we'll catch you in the next episode. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I, I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.